Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Deadly flooding in Kentucky, and now more rain on the way. I'm Tyler Matheson in for Shepard Smith, and this is the news on CNBC.
The death toll continues to climb in Kentucky.
The people impacted by this are going to lose just about everything, and we believe that there will be thousands.
The desperate search for missing, with entire towns virtually submerged. As interest rates go up, a new GDP report sends mortgage rates down. The good news and the bad news for home buyers and sellers. Dozens of Ukrainian POWs killed. Was it friendly fire or a Russian war crime? Backlash in Bedminster as 9/11 families blast former President Trump for hosting the Saudi-backed LIV golf tour.
Doing all he can to personally benefit from these blood money soaked tournaments.
Will Smith breaks his silence on the slap heard round the world. Skyscrapers made of wood and dolphins in New York Harbor.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Catastrophic flooding hammering eastern Kentucky for the second night in a row now. The death toll has more than doubled since yesterday, at least 19 people dead, six of them children, according to local officials there. Four of those children from the same family. The Herald Leader reports that floodwaters swept the kids away from their parents' grip last night. According to the newspaper, their parents survived after clinging to a tree for 8 hours. Governor Andy Beshear is warning he expects the death toll to keep rising, possibly for weeks. He spoke after flying over the damage today with the National Guard.
I've seen a lot. I've certainly done three-plus flights and or tours over flooded areas. This is by far the worst.
Well, the governor said rescue crews are still using boats and helicopters to save people who are trapped. He warned in some areas the water is still rising. Well, extreme weather hitting more than just Kentucky. In St. Louis last night, torrential downpours again just 2 days after historic flooding hit the area. Water taking over streets yet again, the storm forcing crews to rescue people trapped in cars and buildings. And in Las Vegas, thunderstorms caused flooding on the Strip. Rainwater ripping through a parking garage there last night. Streets still flooded today. Water also pouring into casinos. This at Caesar's Palace on the Strip. Water coming through the lights. And Western wildfires still raging. The Oak Fire in Mariposa County, California, growing slightly overnight. Fire officials say it is now 45% contained. NBC meteorologist Michelle Grossman now. Michelle, will eastern Kentucky get a break from the storms tonight?
Good evening, Tyler. Well, we're looking at a little break tonight, a little break tomorrow, but unfortunately the rain returns on Sunday. I'll show you the setup. We're seeing a little bit of rain tonight, but not the heavy stuff that we saw just a day ago. We saw 9 inches in Hazard, Kentucky yesterday. That was just in 12 hours. And we're seeing radar lit up tonight where you see the darker colors, the brighter colors, the yellows, the reds, the oranges. That's where we're seeing those really heavy downpours. So mainly south of Kentucky, we're seeing some in Tennessee, portions of Arkansas, also Mississippi, into Alabama as well, also the Carolinas, into the Mid-Atlantic. But as we zoom in a little closer, we're getting a small break in portions of Kentucky. We have a couple bubbles of some heavy rain falling, and then we'll get that break tomorrow before we see that rain returning on Sunday. Here is the setup. We have a frontal boundary. It's the same boundary that brought that rain to St. Louis as well. They saw 9 inches in 15 hours on Monday. So it's moving very, very slowly. It's a nearly stationary front. It's moving to the south. It's moving to the north. Right now, it's further to the south. So tomorrow, we're going to see soaking storms from Texas to Carolinas, really high rainfall rates. The atmosphere is like a really wet sponge. Once you get that trigger of the front, you squeeze out that sponge, That's where we're seeing that really heavy rain. And then look what happens on Sunday. That front moves further to the north, and then we're impacting Kentucky once again, eastern Kentucky. And this is what we're concerned about. We're already so saturated. You saw all those devastating images. Any raindrops will add to renewing of the flooding risk. And we could see some flash flooding as well. So here's your rainfall forecast. It's extensive. We're looking at heavy rain extending from the Carolinas, the Mid-Atlantic, to portions of the Central Plains. That includes Kentucky. That includes West Virginia. It also includes Western Virginia and portions of Tennessee. And that will last through Sunday. So it's not just tonight. It's not just tomorrow. It's also Sunday where we're looking at that really heavy rain. We're concerned also about the flash flood risk. This is through Sunday, stretching from the Carolinas all the way through portions of Missouri once again. So St. Louis, you're in this, as well as Hazard, Nashville, Knoxville, and also Huntsville. Also, Tyler, we are tracking some extreme heat still in the Pacific Northwest. This is through the weekend. 13 million people impacted from Seattle to Portland, Medford down to Chico. Also, Spokane and Missoula. We're looking at temperatures climbing into the 90s, also the triple digits. Once again, tomorrow, we're looking at 101 in Portland, 109 in Medford, 105 in Bend tomorrow, and 103 in Burns. And then as we go throughout Sunday, it's another really hot day. Temperatures, once again, climbing to the triple digits. So many here do not have air conditioning. It makes it that much worse. So Kennewick, we're looking on Sunday, 100 degrees, right at the century mark on Monday. But notice by Tuesday, much, much cooler. So the good news here is we're looking at relief headed their way by Monday and also Tuesday in spots. Back to you.
All right. Thank you very much for that report. And the rains just keep coming through the south and southeast. NBC's Maggie Vespa is tracking the deadly flooding in Dwarf, Kentucky tonight.
Still a lot of people unaccounted for. We're going to do our best to find them all.
In the town of Dwarf, crews with cadaver dogs search for bodies. The local sheriff, his own family, among the dead.
The first confirmed victim that we identified was my great aunt, my grandfather's sister. So the first notification that I made was to my mother.
Nell Howard was 82.
How do you deal with that?
I sat down in my hallway last night about 12:30 and I cried for an hour.
Hours away in Beaver Dam, Shelley Wilson waits in agony for news on her dad.
I don't know if he's out there suffering somewhere and needing help.
Dennis Stacy is 72 and one of countless missing.
I just wish they would, you know, either find him or his body would be located, unfortunately. It's just the not knowing and the fact that he's missing, it's just excruciating.
Kentucky's governor with the head of FEMA today touring the devastation from above.
Hundreds of homes, their ball fields, their parks, businesses, under more water than I think any of us have ever seen in that area. Absolutely impassable in numerous.
President Biden declaring the area a disaster zone, vowing federal aid, but residents fear it won't come fast enough.
Never in my life we've seen it come up that fast.
Dave and Lisa Harris hid in their Garrett home's second floor as their first floor flooded. That's video of their neighborhood Thursday. Fast forward 24 hours, their garage is filled with mud as their family photos are drying out. One of many picking up the pieces in a community forever changed.
With close to 300 rescues reported thus far, first responders here are just overwhelmed with missing persons reports. So now volunteers are showing up with their own boats, four-wheelers, and drones to help rescue the stranded and recover the dead. Tyler?
Maggie Vespa reporting for us tonight. Well, another whirlwind week for the U.S. economy, ending with more bad inflation numbers. The personal consumption expenditures price index, that's a mouthful, rose 6.8% in June. That's the biggest yearly jump since January of 1982. The Fed uses that index as its main measure of inflation. The White House says the U.S. isn't in a recession yet, but some consumers already acting like we are, doing what they have to, even if it means picking up side hustles in order to pay the bills and supplement their dwindling income. But some relief could be on the horizon. Here's NBC's Emily Ikeda.
For Jamie Rickliffe's, it has become a twice-a-week ritual, selling her plasma.
Originally, the plasma was just like a safety net, and now it's becoming more of a necessity.
Her family's two-income household is struggling to keep up with runaway inflation, and they're far from alone. Two-thirds of Americans are blowing through their savings because of sky-high prices.
We should be middle class and we should have a nice savings, but everything's going up.
Workers' wages have increased, but not at the same pace as historic levels of inflation. New numbers today show a key gauge for prices we pay up 6.8% year over year, the steepest spike since 1982.
What's the bottom line from this week?
Buckle up and get ready.
Melissa Bradley is a venture capitalist and says small businesses have witnessed recession warning signs for months.
We see it every day in our receipts, and we need to really figure out how to make some changes.
Markets, meanwhile, rose for the week, the Dow up nearly 1,000 points. Buoyed today by oil giants Exxon and Chevron, reporting record second quarter profits, thanks in part to what have been record high gas prices. Consumers now finding some relief in falling gas prices down 76 cents a gallon from their peak and job security. Nationwide, the unemployment rate sits at near 50-year lows. In Marion County, Iowa, it's practically non-existent.
Do you feel like you're at risk of being out of work if we move into a recession?
At the moment, no, just because there's such a high demand and we've already got so many orders already in.
Americans navigating a dizzying economy. The demand for labor high, but prices even higher. For the news, I'm Emily Ikeda.
Just moments ago, the House narrowly passing a ban on assault-style weapons. The final vote, 217 to 213. Five Democrats voted against the bill, but two Republicans voted for it. Now, the bill is likely doomed in the Senate, where it is not expected to get the required 60 votes to beat a filibuster. But it looks like Secret Service agents aren't the only ones whose text messages are missing from January 6th. The Washington Post reports the text messages of former President Trump's acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf and his deputy Ken Cuccinelli are also missing during a key period leading up to the Capitol riot. The Post reports the Department of Homeland Security notified its Inspector General back in February that the texts were lost because Wolf's and Cuccinelli's cell phones were reset when they left their jobs. According to the Post, the Inspector General did not investigate any further or try to recover the messages, and he failed to alert Congress about the destruction of potential evidence. Well, death and destruction in eastern Ukraine. This time, dozens of POWs killed in a bombing. Ukraine and Russia blame each other for the carnage. As Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan stay locked up in Russian prisons, a possible diplomatic break today as the Secretary of State talks with his Russian counterpart about a possible prisoner swap. And Uber hangs out the Help Wanted sign with a whole new bunch of features to attract drivers.
The facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith, back in 60 seconds.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Russia and Ukraine are accusing each other of bombing a prison and killing dozens of Ukrainian prisoners of war. Russia claims that Ukrainian forces blew up the prison in eastern Ukraine with long-range U.S.-supplied rockets and killed more than 50 of their own men who were in Russian custody. But Ukraine's military says that is a flat-out lie. They accuse Russia of shelling its own prison on purpose to hide the torture and executions of Ukrainian prisoners, and then trying to frame Ukraine for the war crime. As the gruesome war enters its 6 months, Sky News correspondent Correspondent Alex Rossi is on the front line in eastern Ukraine, where people have been living without power or water and camping next to bomb shelters.
As we make our way to the Ukrainian military frontline positions, it's clear this conflict could go on for years. As Mikhailovich guides us, he warns there could be incoming fire. The line of contact stretches for miles, and both sides are heavily dug in.
British machine.
This is a British gun.
British, yes. British.
Ukraine says Western long-range artillery is slowly giving them the advantage.
This is one of the frontline positions north of Slovyansk, and you can get an idea of the kind of territory they're fighting across. That's the Seversky Donets River. They're using it as a natural defensive barrier. But here they are very, very close to their Russian enemy. The Russians are just the other side now, about 700 meters away.
Thank you very much.
It is hard to know whether Ukraine is capable of victory or is just losing slowly. Russia is finding it difficult, but is making gains in the east. And you only have to visit the cities in the firing line to see that. Bakhmut is slowly being crushed. Nearly every day, shells and rockets are landing here, traumatizing the local population.
Здравствуйте. Hi, how are you?
Ruslan says he wants Ukraine to win, but more than that, he wants peace and stability, even if it means conceding territory.
Изначально надо было отдать все, как хотели. Не было бы столько жертв. С такой стороной нельзя воевать.
Почему?
Потому что эта страна захотит, она заберет Европу все.
This is what's left of the local school, smashed in an airstrike. There are reminders of what life was once like here, but now there is only the sound of violence as Russia's assault gets closer. Alex Rossi, Sky News, Eastern Ukraine.
America's top diplomat pushing the Kremlin to accept a prisoner swap deal for Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he spoke to Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov today for the first time since the invasion began and pressed him to take the deal. NBC News has learned that the U.S. is offering Viktor Bout, the notorious Russian arms trafficker known as the Merchant of Death, in exchange for the detained WNBA star and retired Marine.
I urged Foreign Minister Lavrov to move forward with that proposal. I'm not going to characterize his response, and I can't give you an assessment of whether I think things are any more or less likely, but it was important that he hear directly from me on that.
Sources tell NBC News that President Biden and his national security team decided to offer Bout after months of discussions despite objections from the Justice Department. Bout has been accused of selling weapons to al-Qaeda and helping fuel bloody conflicts across Africa. He's serving a 25-year prison sentence in the U.S. for conspiring to kill Americans when he tried to sell missiles, explosives, thousands of assault rifles, and millions of rounds of ammo to a terrorist group in Colombia. New tonight, NBC News has now learned that earlier this month, Russia responded to the offer, but they wanted to include another prisoner in addition to Bout, a former colonel for Russia's intelligence service. He's serving life in prison in Germany for assassinating a man in Berlin. The National Security Council spokesman says the U.S. did not consider that a serious counteroffer. Well, meantime, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi leading a delegation to Asia this weekend. A source telling NBC News the itinerary includes Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, and Singapore, all U.S. allies. It is unclear right now whether the trip will include a stop in Taiwan. Earlier reports of a possible stop in that country led to a stern warning from Beijing, promising it would carry out, quote, forceful responses if she sets foot on the island. In a phone call yesterday between President Biden and China's President Xi Jinping, the two discussed tensions over Taiwan. The democratic nation is a tension point between the two leaders. The U.S. supplies it with military weapons and aid, but China views it as its territory. A spokesman for Speaker Pelosi declined to comment about the trip, citing security concerns. Well, New Yorkers have seen just about everything, and now add dolphins to the list. Why scientists say the marine mammals are visiting New York City's waters in droves, delighting both tourists and locals. And new boosters set to roll out this fall. How the next generation of vaccines could be a game changer in the fight against COVID.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Marine mammals are heading to the big city. Whales and dolphins spotted in the waters off of New York and Massachusetts. According to an official with the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Group, they are looking for food. And experts say water cleanup efforts have made it easier for marine animals to find a suitable snack. And that is bringing them closer to the coast. In New York, CNBC's Valerie Castro got an up-close look.
Lunch feed, 1 o'clock.
A humpback whale feeding in the waters near New York City is more common than you might think.
The fact that it's right here and I don't have to go to Massachusetts to go whale watching is even better.
American Princess Cruises runs daily tours from Brooklyn in search of dolphins and whales.
Our goal today is to find these beautiful creatures.
Wildlife experts say it's getting easier to spot them because they're returning to these waters like never before, drawn to a resurgence in food supply.
Sometimes we get these massive group sizes, 200 plus animals, and just phenomenal sightings. And it's like dolphins as far as the eye can see.
Scientists with the Wildlife Conservation Society deployed underwater listening devices around the New York Harbor to learn more and picked up these whistles, clicks, and buzzes. A sign that the animals, in this case bottlenose dolphins, are feeding in droves.
We're detecting them in areas that people never thought, they would see dolphins right off here off the, one of the greatest cities on the planet.
Decades of legislation and industry changes to clean up the water have reinvigorated the ecosystem. Just last year, these dolphins made their way up the East River, swimming against the backdrop of the city skyline. Out in the open waters of the Atlantic, Captain Tom Palladino says the large schools of bait fish guarantee almost daily sightings.
From 1945 to 2000, we would see two or three whales a year. It has gotten to the point this year and last year, we're on almost 95% sightings. So it's just, and it's getting better.
The flip of a tail or lunge for some lunch, all promising signs that nature can slowly be restored.
These changes can happen through time, if we give wildlife and the habitats that depend on a chance.
And even though you might have more of a chance to see these animals in the wild, experts warn that they are federally protected and getting too close is illegal. Whale and dolphin watching tours like the one we went on earlier this week, they work in conjunction with NOAA to follow federal guidelines to ensure the animals are enjoyed from afar. Tyler.
And they are sure beautiful, Valerie. Thanks so much. All right, well, he may have won Best Actor at this year's Oscars, but that was overshadowed when he slapped Chris Rock. Now, Will Smith trying to make amends in a new video. What he has to say about all that drama. Plus, how do you solve the housing shortage if builders won't build during a downturn? A controversial idea to get more homes in production. Next. New York City is one of the most popular tourist destinations in the world. According to Tourism Economics, visitors spent nearly $48 billion there in 2019 before COVID. But that dropped significantly during the height of the pandemic and left many wondering, would the out-of-towners ever return? As CNBC's Seema Modi reports, they're back, but it's going to cost them.
This summer marks the return to big cities, and New York City is here for it.
I think it's so much fun. I love it here.
I feel like New York is a beautiful place where you can, like, explore a lot and rather go to beaches where I'm normally from.
New York City is expecting over 56 million visitors this year, reaching 85% of 2019 levels. That's driving prices up. It's currently one of the most expensive cities to check into a hotel, averaging nearly $300 a night, up 20% from 2019. That, according to STR. Marriott CEO Tony Capuano says higher prices are here to stay, as long as they can deliver on service.
It's one of the world's great cities, and as we've seen just over the last year, I think demand for New York is as resilient as any city on the planet.
It's fueled construction of new properties. In addition to the 11 hotels that have opened in New York City this year, including Marriott's brand new Ritz-Carlton, there are 60 projects in the pipeline.
Hotel construction in New York City specifically has always been on a lot of developers' minds. There are 14,000 rooms in construction. That is the highest pipeline in the country for any market.
Supply chain issues and the shortage of labor are slowing down the number of hotel openings. This Ritz-Carlton in New York broke ground 4 years ago. Another headwind the hospitality industry is facing, higher interest rates. Experts say it could reduce how much Americans are willing to spend on travel. For the news, I'm Seema Modi.
Soaring energy prices boosting two oil giants' bottom lines, and that's what's topping CNBC's On the Money. ExxonMobil and Chevron reporting record profits for the second quarter today. Exxon's income, a massive $17.9 billion. That's more than three times what it earned a year ago. Chevron, nearly $12 billion in profit, also tripling from last year. Oil and gas driving the increase there. And today at the pump, nationwide average price for a gallon of gas, $4.25. That's down now for 45 straight days, but still, of course, elevated, up $1.09 from last year. Uber out with some new features to attract more drivers. Now Uber drivers will be able to see how much they'll earn and where they're going before they accept a trip. Uber also announced a debit card that offers drivers up to 7% cash back at select gas stations. And supply chain pain about to play a trick on kids this Halloween. Hershey warns a candy shortage could be on the way this fall. The candy maker says raw ingredients are scarce. Hershey blaming this on supply chain issues related to COVID and the war in Ukraine. And on Wall Street, the Dow up 316 points or thereabouts to finish the week. The S&P up 58, NASDAQ up 228, almost 2%. All three indexes up for consecutive weeks, and that hasn't happened in 4 months. I'm Tyler Matheson in for Shepard Smith. It is half past the hour, and here's what's making the news.
Updating boosters, how the Biden administration plans to increase protection this fall as COVID cases continue to rise. The LIV golf tournament tees off, the protest that greeted players, and the former president. But first, what's ahead for the housing market?
Mortgage rates taking a dip after the Federal Reserve increased its benchmark interest rate on Wednesday. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage, the type most people take, fell to about 5.1% today, according to Mortgage News Daily. And the housing market overall showing some signs of a cool down. Home builders say demand much lower now after those rate hikes have taken a bite. And in response, they say they're pulling back on development because they're afraid they won't be able to sell. But here's the problem. The U.S. is already facing a housing shortage, and if builders stop making new developments now, the current shortage will only get worse down the line. So one solution, controversial one, a government program that subsidizes home building when demand slows down. Lily Liu is with us, CEO of Pinata, a rental rewards app. Lily, thanks for being with us. It seems like supply and demand never line up in the housing market. I guess that's what makes a market. But how do we get ourselves out of this cycle where the two come into a greater balance?
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, demand for homes has slowed enough that builders are finding themselves in a situation where they have these assets, they have homes, they have buildings, but they have not enough buyers for them. So we're seeing this slowdown happen in the market. And you're right, the mixed incentives on the market mean that there's never going to be that lineup in terms of demand and supply. So how do we actually solve this and get to a really stabilized place in the housing market? I don't know if we'll ever get there, but you know, one of the policies that are out there and being proposed in some states is really looking at government funding. We can't expect private companies to build in the downturn and take all of that risk. So how do governments support buildings to be developed and construction to still continue during a downturn?
So who would get subsidized? Developers, builders, or are you talking about the public actually building housing? We went through that in the 60s and 70s, and it didn't generally end all that well.
You know, I honestly think it has to be a mixture of both, right? It has to be both public housing that's created by the public sector, but also programs in place that help to create incentives for builders to keep going during a downturn. When it doesn't make sense for them to build, we need to incentivize private companies to help in the housing shortage. Otherwise, 2 years from now, we're gonna find ourselves in a bad position with the housing market.
I can think of a lot of people who would say, here we go again. We bailed out the banks. We bailed out the airlines. Now you're talking about bailing out builders so they can keep pumping out supply and pull the market into balance. There'd be a lot of criticism of that, I would guess.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the past few years, we've actually had a record high number of construction permits. What did the government do? They throttled the amount of construction permits that were getting approved to really, again, try to align the market. Similarly, should government look at actually providing financial assistance programs to continue a steady pace of construction and new buildings to keep in line with demand? And while controversial, you know, I think government needs to serve the purpose of really looking at stable housing solutions for Americans across the country.
Lily Liu, thank you very much for your perspectives tonight. We appreciate it. All right, when it comes to building, some companies and architects are turning away from materials like concrete and steel in favor of good old-fashioned wood, something that you mainly see with houses. But now it's showing up in skyscrapers like this one in Sweden. The Sara Cultural Center, 20 stories high, one of the tallest wooden buildings in the world. But one company here in the U.S. is trying to one-up that. Here's NBC's chief environmental affairs correspondent, Ann Thompson.
Rising on the Milwaukee skyline is a revolution in construction.
It's built out of wood instead of a traditional post-tension concrete.
Tim Gockman is developing a building made out of a type of wood material called mass timber. Pieces of wood, primarily spruce and pine, are glued together to create beams, columns, and deckings that now make up the Ascent, a Milwaukee apartment building opening this summer. Just how high can these wood buildings go? This one is 284 feet, 25 stories high, and when it is finished, it will be the tallest building of its kind in the world. Here, 50% of the wood will be exposed.
People respond to natural elements in their homes.
We know they do, right? People feel better, they perform better.
Better for people and better for the environment, says architect Michael Green, among Mass Timber's original evangelists. He designed this Mass Timber building in Spokane, Washington, and is working on a timber project for Google.
steel and concrete are incredible materials that have built the skylines of, you know, every city on Earth, but they also have a really high carbon footprint. Building these wood buildings basically allows us to capture carbon in the building.
Reducing a building's carbon emissions when the timber is sustainably sourced, even if it's imported from Austria, like the wood for the Ascent.
Building Ascent with mass timber versus post-tension concrete is the equivalent of taking 2,400 cars off the road for a year.
A 2021 study found mass timber structures could reduce a building's carbon emissions 22 to 50% compared to concrete. But some environmentalists say there is a big caveat.
If mass timber drives the clear cutting of primary and older forests, we're simply going to be substituting one type of high carbon building material for another.
Sustainably sourced, advocates say mass timber offers economic benefits too. Because each piece is pre-cut and assembled like Legos, it requires less labor. And yes, it meets fire codes.
Their very robust scale allows them to be very fire resistant, and we have to build them to be every bit as fire resistant and safe as any concrete building or any steel building to meet the building code.
With less impact on the planet.
It's not an end of the game, it's the beginning of the game of solving climate.
One beam at a time.
For the news, I'm Ann Thompson.
Well, the U.S. is preparing to roll out updated COVID boosters this fall. A Biden administration official tells NBC News the new vaccines are specifically designed to protect against Omicron subvariants like the highly contagious BA4 and BA5 strains that now account for nearly all COVID cases nationwide. That's according to data from the CDC. Today, the White House announced it reached a deal with Moderna to buy 66 million doses of the company's next-gen vaccine. That's on top of the more than 100 million shots already secured from Pfizer. U.S. regulators still need to officially sign off on the new boosters. But in a statement, HHS Secretary Javier Becerra wrote, "We must stay vigilant in our fight against COVID-19 and continue to expand Americans' access to the best vaccines and treatments. As we look to the fall and winter, we're doing just that, ensuring Americans have the tools they need to stay safe and help keep our nation moving forward." Well, new warnings tonight about the growing monkeypox outbreak. These come as Spain reports Europe's first known monkeypox death. This is only the second death outside of Africa in the current outbreak, by the way, and that from our sister network, Sky News. San Francisco's mayor just declared a local public health emergency. She says the move will give officials more resources to slow the spread. And in New York, the state's health commissioner now describing the disease as, quote, an imminent threat. For weeks, many Americans have struggled to find available monkeypox vaccines. Critics accuse the Biden administration of moving too slowly to distribute shots, but the White House just announced plans to ship roughly 800,000 new doses starting today. So far, the United States has reported nearly 5,000 monkeypox cases. Worldwide, officials have confirmed more than 21,000 infections across 78 countries. Well, cops in Michigan investigating a possible serial arsonist. They say five suspicious fires have been set around this same area in Detroit. The most recent happened yesterday. A firefighter got trapped when the building around him collapsed. Local reporting now from our affiliate, NBC Local 4 in Detroit, and their reporter, Grant Herms.
We want the citizens of the city of Detroit just to pray for our firefighters.
Detroit's bravest recovering at Sinai Grace Hospital after being trapped under feet of rubble.
We have two trapped firefighters. One firefighter is out. We have one still in a hole. We're working.
DFD working a vacant house fire when the structure collapsed Thursday afternoon. The team able to clear most of the debris, but one of them was trapped. 2 hours of painstaking work, moving more than 2 feet of debris, and he was out. Alive and expected to make a full recovery, but this was a near miss, and it's no isolated incident.
How many fires have there been in the last week around here?
I say a good five.
Department sources show three fires on Hollywood, close to the home that burned. One on Brentwood, which is one street over, and one further down on 7 Mile. ATF going door to door for hours, asking neighbors for any help they can give with what is an investigation into a presumed serial arsonist. All the properties were abandoned.
And there's no squatters, because that house that just burned up and the firemen got caught in was not a squatter house.
For the news, I'm Grant Herms.
Some of golf's biggest stars teeing off today at a Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey, but protesters casting a shadow over the tournament. Why some are now accusing the former president of accepting blood money. Plus, the last patient has left the hospital. The goodbye ceremony for a 10-year-old survivor of the shooting at Robb Elementary in Texas. Protesters demonstrating in New Jersey today as the LIV Golf Tournament gets underway there. Survivors and family members of 9/11 victims blasting former President Donald Trump for hosting the Saudi-backed golf tour. The tournament is happening at the former president's Bedminster golf course, just 50 miles from where the Twin Towers fell. The protesters are accusing him and the golfers on the tour of accepting so-called blood money from a government they say is connected to the terror attacks. LIV is paying pro golfers big bucks to ditch the PGA Tour. Phil Mickelson reportedly signing a $200 million contract with the league. Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Bryson DeChambeau also signing on, among others. Here's CNBC's Perry Russum with the backlash they're now facing.
If we can't get a golfer to at least look us in the eye and tell us that they're doing it for the money and they don't give a shit about the atrocities of Saudi Arabia, they're cowards.
Brett Eagleson says his dad, Bruce, had every chance to get out of the towers on 9/11. Standing in the lobby of one of the towers, Eagleson says his dad saw police and firefighters having issues communicating with each other. So Bruce went up to the 17th floor to get radios. The building collapsed, and his body was never found.
I see these golfers dodge questions, put their head in the sand, not want to confront us, not want to address our issues, and just say golf is for the greater good or I'm doing this for my family. Well, my dad went to work that day providing for his family and he got blown away.
15 of the 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, and Eagleson blames the Saudis for the attacks, an accusation once shared by President Trump.
Who blew up the World Trade Center? It wasn't the Iraqis, it was Saudi.
Trump changing his message yesterday.
Well, nobody's gotten to the bottom of 9/11, unfortunately, and they should have.
The Saudi government has denied any involvement in the attacks.
Our hearts goes out to anyone who lost a loved one in that terrible tragedy.
LIV golfers continue to face accusations of sports washing, taking big money to help the Saudi government clean up an image tarnished by accusations of human rights violations, accusations the kingdom denies.
I've been to the kingdom a couple of times, and I've seen change.
Last night, the former president at a LIV golf party alongside his family, as 9/11 families demand to be heard.
That is the worst feeling that these family members can get when we're not even getting through to a former president.
Phil Mickelson is one of the big names to go from the PGA over to LIV, and when he was teeing off today, somebody from the gallery yelled, "Do it for the Saudi royal family." He had to take a step back to gather himself, and then he hit the ball into the beach. Tyler?
Perry, thanks very much. Perry Russell reporting tonight. That is 10-year-old Maya Zamora. University Health Hospital in San Antonio reports that she is their last patient from the shooting in Uvalde, Texas. She left the hospital today. University Health releasing this video of her final walk down the halls. Zamora passed out roses to her doctors and nurses on the way out. Then she posed for some pictures and waved her medical team goodbye. A hospital official wrote in a tweet today that she's a hero and that they can't wait to see all she accomplishes in the future, and neither can we. The principal of Robb Elementary School back on the job 3 days after the superintendent put her on administrative leave. That's according to a letter her lawyer provided from Superintendent Hal Harrell. It comes after Principal Mandy Gutierrez disputed findings from a Texas legislative committee that looked into the massacre in Uvalde. The committee found that Principal Gutierrez knew about security issues in the school before a gunman opened fire, killing 19 students and two teachers. The state panel said the principal knew the door lock didn't work properly on the classroom where the shooting happened. Principal Gutierrez said the lock did work when a custodian checked it the night before the shooting. She said the teacher may have needed to forcefully close the door to lock it because it is an aged building. Well, Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser asking for the National Guard's help as busloads of migrants continue showing up in the nation's capital. Scenes like this have become common outside of Union Station since the spring. That's when Texas Governor Greg Abbott first sent a bus of migrants to D.C. He accused the Biden administration of turning a blind eye to the border crisis and said Texas shouldn't have to bear the burden. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey followed suit about a month later, and since then, the governors have sent more and more buses to the Capitol. Mayor Bowser calling it now a growing humanitarian crisis. She says the government needs to intervene.
The number of people crossing the border seeking asylum, we expect to only go up. And we need to make sure that there is a national response, not an ad hoc city by city, state by state response.
Mayor Bowser sent these letters to the Secretary of Defense and the White House requesting the National Guard earlier this month. According to reports, they have yet to respond. But Will Smith breaks his silence about the big slap people he called out in today's apology and what he had to say about his wife's involvement. And they grew up jumping double dutch. Now they're double dutching while all grown up. Meet the women, turning a childhood game into an adult-sized adventure. Will Smith apologizing to Chris Rock 3 months after the infamous Oscars slap. In a pre-recorded video he posted on Instagram, Smith said he reached out to Rock directly, but the comedian wasn't ready to talk.
Chris, I apologize to you. My behavior was unacceptable, and I'm here whenever you're ready to talk.
Smith also apologized to Rock's mother and younger brother.
I spent the last 3 months replaying and understanding the nuances and the complexities of what happened in that moment. But I can say to all of you, there is no part of me that thinks that was the right way to behave.
Smith slapped Rock at this year's Oscars after Rock made a joke about his wife Jada Pinkett Smith's hair loss. In the video, Smith said Jada had, quote, nothing to do with his choice to slap the comedian. Smith ended today's video with a message to his fans.
It hurts me psychologically and emotionally to know I didn't live up to people's image and impression of me. I'm trying to be remorseful without being ashamed of myself, right? I'm human.
Later in the night, Smith won the Oscar for Best Actor for his role in King Richard. In his acceptance speech, he apologized to the Academy, but not to Rock. The day after the ceremony, Smith posted this apology to Instagram. He publicly apologized to Rock, saying he was out of line and embarrassed. Almost a week later, Smith resigned from the Academy. He's been banned from attending the Oscars for 10 years. NBC News has reached out to Rock's representatives, but has not heard back. So what was your favorite game as a kid? Was it tag, hide and seek? Maybe a little dodgeball? Well, for a group of women in Minnesota, it was double dutch. And now, even though they have jobs and families and a lot more responsibilities, it still is. Local reporting now from CARE 11 and their reporter, Boyd Huppert.
Work hard and get ahead. It's the American way. But at a city park in Brooklyn Park, after the workday,
we are ready.
Play.
Double dutch.
Double dutch.
Very own video.
And double takes.
Go, Grandma. Go, Grandma.
Woo! That's Jackie Coates, quick on her feet.
58 years old.
a career administrative assistant.
I am a small business owner. I have an emerging beauty brand.
Devonna Pittman, Cassandra Coates Payne.
I am administrative assistant.
And about to jump in.
I own a construction company.
Babette Buckner.
Yep.
All of them working professional women over 50 who end their days once a week like the little girls they once were.
When I was younger, back in Milwaukee, we lived in the projects, and that was just a pastime. We did double dutch morning, noon, and evening.
Don't expect work talk.
Have you guys ever seen The Handmaid's Tale?
Unless the context is work out.
And I think this is a better workout to me. I wonder if I could do that. Than being in the gym on a treadmill. It's boring. No.
I gotta take a long bath tonight with some Epsom salt.
One, two, three.
Man, you jump double dutch with someone, you instantly develop a different kind of relationship with them. True. Like, we really didn't know each other until we started jumping double dutch. And now I feel like these ladies are my sisters.
Sisters. Growing. They're family.
They show you like good.
3-year-old Erilyn Coleman is among the Lakeview Terrace Farmers Market shoppers who happened upon the double dutchers.
Oh, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. I think I'll get in there.
There you go. All right. Okay, Miles. Okay, Miles.
Miles Peterson learned at least one thing today.
Way harder than it looks.
I saw them jumping, and I grew up jumping.
Decades from her Chicago childhood.
All right.
Today, Jessica Turner is picking up.
There you go. All right.
Where she left off.
Memory. Muscle memory.
Came right back to me, and I got to meet some new ladies, too.
Jessica, the school secretary, now planning to join the group, too.
All right, Queen.
Working women, whose childhoods are still reminding them to play.
I never get tired of jumping double dutch. I can do this all night, as long as my legs hold up. And they usually do.
For the news, I'm Boyd Hooper.
Something I will never be able to do. That looks like so much fun, and what a great workout. All right, Lotto fever, a billion degrees and getting hotter. Americans frantic to get their hands on Mega Millions lottery tickets for tonight's drawing. The grand prize, more than $1.2 billion, now the third largest jackpot ever. Your chances, terrible, but you know that. There is one guaranteed winner, though, Uncle Sam. Most winners choose that lump sum cash payout. Tonight, that would be $747 million. Federal tax on that, 24%, $179 million. If you're a high-income earner, well, you would be instantly there. You'd have to tag on another 13%. And if you live in a state that taxes income or lottery winnings, they will want a cut, too. It's not even worth winning, right? All right, we got 50 seconds left on the clock in a race to the finish. Catastrophic and deadly flooding sweeping eastern Kentucky for a second night in a row. The death toll has more than doubled since yesterday. Local officials say at least 19 confirmed dead, 6 of them children. Tonight, the House narrowly passed a ban on assault-style weapons in the wake of multiple mass shootings, but the bill likely doomed in the Senate. And Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says he spoke with Russia's foreign minister today and urged the Kremlin to accept a prisoner swap offer for Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. And now, folks, you know the news of this Friday, July 29th, 2022. I'm Tyler Matheson, in for Shepard Smith. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The News on CNBC. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week.
You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.